Attention all campers! Pack your bags. We're headed for the wild woods of Camp Wanakiki, the new reality series where eight drag queens compete for the title of Queen of Camp at an actual summer camp deep in the forests of northern Illinois.
The series is created by Ashley and Brandon Wright, the out-gay identical twins behind the food and entertainment restaurant franchise Hamburger Mary's. As their drag alter, She Goes, Apple Brown Betty, and Cherry Pie Sugar Baker, along with the help of their gal pal, Aunt Ruthie, they put the contestants through a series of adventures that would make the Girl Scouts blush.
Today, Ashley and Brandon share their story on how they went from Burger Brothers to Campy Sisters with their new reality series, Camp Wanakiki.
Listen as the twins talk about how they manage their very close relationship as business partners, drag queens, and now reality TV stars.
Plus, who will be a surprise celebrity guest? Find out. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Our guests today are Ashley and Brandon Wright, the out-gay identical twins behind the food and entertainment restaurant franchise Hamburger Mary's. As their drag queen alter egos, Apple Brown Betty, wave to the camera, and Cherry Pie, they host the new reality TV series Camp Wanakiki, where eight drag queens compete for the title of Queen of Camp at an actual summer camp deep in the woods of northern Illinois.
How deep?
It's such a hilarious premise. Welcome to Feast of Fun.
Thanks. Oh, it's great. We're so excited to be here.
Glad to have you here. I'm sorry I missed camp this summer, but, you know.
I know. You had your other activities.
I had stuff to do, but, you know.
He was a busy boy.
What was it like, though, hanging out in the middle of the woods with eight drag queens?
Well, in hindsight, it was a lot of fun, but during the actual camp, it was a lot of work. It was tough.
We're living out in the woods. Like, we stayed at this camp, like, the whole time. So it's like nature, and you got to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and there's not, you know, a bathroom. You have to walk outside in the dark.
So when I first heard about this idea, I thought that the hardest thing for the drag queens to figure out is how to tell the two of you guys apart. And the people who are listening to this right now, you can also watch it on YouTube, is how do you tell people to tell you guys apart? Because you guys are running businesses together, you're meeting new people, and I can imagine, like, from our experience with Mark and I, we look like each other, we're married. You guys are brothers.
Identical twins.
How do you tell people to tell each other apart?
I think it's really easy if you remember that Betty has a beehive and Cherry has a flip wig.
But outside of drag. Yeah.
So, I mean, in drag, it's a little bit easier because the hairstyles. Outside of drag, I usually have a beard or facial hair, typically.
So B for Brandon.
Beard. Yeah, but now that we're doing drag more often, he's, you know, out of his beard drag most of the time, or a lot of times, and it gets a little confusing. Yeah.
But the most obvious thing, Ashley has a tattoo, and I don't.
Oh, yeah. So that's the there you go. Yeah.
That's the obvious
thing. So Ashley is the rebel. He's the party girl. She's the fun-loving one. You used to manage a bar before you got into the hamburger drag business.
I did. That was my first, like, foray into the food and beverage sort of industry, was managing a bar in D.C. called Cobalt. It was a lot of fun.
So you did a lot of drugs and partied and were wild, and your parents are like, oh my God, why can't you be like Brandon, who's a chemical engineer, has a corporate job, responsible, fiscally conservative.
Right.
Oh my God. Yeah, well, I did get a lot of, when are you going to get a real job? And then I became a flight attendant, and I was like, well, that's not a real job either.
But that's still a party girl job, though.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call myself a party person because I didn't really do a lot of drugs, but I drank a lot.
So. And then Brandon, you're the responsible one who had a good, solid, stable job as a corporate chemical engineer.
We'll go with all of that. Yes, I was definitely our grandfather's favorite grandson. He was an engineer, so he mm-hmm. I was his favorite.
He actually said that to the two of you.
He didn't have to.
It was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
That's but, so terrible.
But here's the thing. I was everybody
for the
else's
others,
favorite.
Not for me.
Oh.
I mean, for me, I remember Brandon with the beard and Ashley, right? That's how we yeah. tell
yes.
people apart.
Yes.
But I can imagine that for the drag queens, mm-hmm. seeing you guys in drag, suddenly, like, I don't know who's what and, you know, what's going on.
Well, I mean, I think like Brandon said, the drag personas are mm-hmm. a little bit easier because even though, like, the face is very much the same, mm-hmm. The hairstyles are always different.
My favorite story to tell is telling you guys apart is I was hanging out with Atmosphere and Brandon
it's a gay bar in Chicago.
It's a gay bar. And there's a group of us gay guys sitting around and one of you come over and you say something to us and we're like, laugh, ha, ha. And then Johnny Stacks is sitting next to me. And so
entertainer, like
30 seconds later, and I turned to him and I go, which twin is that? I always have a hard time telling them apart. And Johnny had left, and Brandon, you were sitting in his spot. And you go, it's Brandon, the cute one. And then I look at you and I go, wait, there's a cute one?
Oh. Well, do you want to hear what I tell our new employees, which is also kind of funny. What? I think it's hysterical. Nah. I say it's very easy because BB, Brandon Beard, mm-hmm. I usually have a beard, AA, yeah. Ashley Asshole. Ah. It's very, very easy. No, it gets better because even when I shave, Ashley's still an asshole. So,
but the irony is, though, everyone actually knows once they get to know you that you are the asshole. No, seriously, he's the mean one. I'm like, you're the nice one.
Do
you guys do good cop, bad cop at work?
Not really. We're usually on the same page. Like, we bicker about stupid shit, but like when we are actually at work, we're pretty much on the same page.
We'll bicker about what color to paint the wall. For days. I mean, we'll argue about the stupidest things for hours and hours and hours.
So it's been about 14 years since you guys left you're like Charlie's Angels. They had good jobs and, you know, and they came to work for me. Hamburger Mary's. Da-na-na-na. So you guys work for a giant blonde woman who serves hamburgers.
Big busty woman.
You guys got into the burger business and you left your good, sensible jobs to chase a dream.
Yeah, and I mean, it was 12 years ago, actually. It was 2006.
Okay.
Well, it was about 14 years ago when we started the process. Uh-huh. You know, at the time, there were Hamburger Mary's opening up around the country, and we had the idea, like, we had always wanted to do something together. Unlike a lot of twins, like, we actually spent many years apart, like, living on different continents, different countries. Brandon was in Chicago, and I was in D.C., we started thinking, like, we should really do something together. Let's open up a bar. Let's open up a bed and breakfast. Let's do something.
Why did you guys want to work together again?
In hindsight, I have no idea.
I know, really.
But there must have been a reason, like, you love your brother.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and it might have been because we spent so much time apart in different cities. You know, it's hard to go back and think that way, because I don't think that we never felt that we were so inseparable, even though people see us now and we live in the same building in Chicago and we both have the same business and we're doing the same things. People think that we're can't be apart, but there was a time where we were, and, you know, possibly subliminally,
unconsciously,
that's a better word. That might have been a reason. I mean, possibly.
When you're in a really close relationship with somebody else, the reason that you got into that relationship is because of aspects of yourself that you admire in that other person. And when you're arguing with them, you're really arguing with yourself. And you guys do that, illustrate that so perfectly, because literally you guys are a visual copy of each other and you're running a business. And now you got into this reality TV show, and all those aspects that require working closely with another person. Also, you run into all kinds of friction. And I'm always telling people, if you're arguing with your husband, your brother and sister, your parents, you're really arguing with yourself. And so take a moment and step back and say, you know, why am I butting heads with this person?
That's true, but there's also sometimes the other person just knows what ticks you off.
So it's
like, you know, just push those buttons, you know?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh,
so did your parents like discourage you from owning a burger franchise?
No, not really. And well, I mean, I think for me more than him, I mean, leaving a job that's quote stable and all that as a chemical engineer, I think that there were more questions with that. Like, are you sure you want to do this? You're going to have a nice pension. You're making good money.
Yeah.
At some point, it came to a point in my career that I just wasn't having fun and I wanted something different. And you know, I'd been doing it for 10 years and, you know, this was just presented itself an exciting opportunity. So,
yeah. And, you know, for me, I was already managing a bar. So it just seemed like a natural progression. Like, I'm never going to own this bar that I work at. So it just makes sense for me to, you know, to go on and do something, you know, bigger and better and do it with my brother and do it with a couple of friends. There were four of us originally that started the Hamburger Mary's in Chicago. But getting back to our parents, it's funny because our mom was more like just confused with the whole concept of Hamburger Mary's because she didn't know what it was. And so she kept like trying to, you know, our mom
who's
was always
Mary?
Like,
why Mary?
Why Hamburger Mary's? That's a stupid name. She's like, why would you call it that? Why don't you call it Hamburger Brashley's or something? And
like, so your parents like, actually do Mary. Like Brad and Angelina. They do a Brangelina for your name.
I think she was trying to maybe be cutesy Brashley. Or whatever. She's trying to think of a, she's trying to be helpful. You know how mothers are. She's right. trying to help us with our budding restaurant career by giving us a creative name, more creative than Hamburger Mary's.
Yeah, but it was also interesting because actually at the time we hadn't officially come out to our parents. I mean, we live in Chicago, or he was in DC, I was in Chicago. Our parents are in Atlanta. It's kind of the whole coming out thing is everyone has their own story and their reason for it. For us, it was we always had each other and we never really cared so much what our parents thought. So for us, there was never a need to specifically tell them and come out to them because we were like, well, they either know or they don't, which of course they did know.
Yeah. And they could ask if they were interested.
Yeah. So. It was just sort of like, you know, I we never felt the need to.
So you came out, you said we own a gay restaurant now, so, by no, the way, we're gay.
Well, that was the impetus for us coming out because we had to explain what this Hamburger Mary's idea was.
Right. Yeah, because she thought we were just creating a burger joint and calling it Hamburger Mary's. There was no Hamburger Mary's in Atlanta, so she didn't know it was a franchise. She didn't know anything about it.
What's your family like? Were they like revolting at the idea of a burger joint?
No, our moms actually, well, first of all, our parents were divorced. Okay. So we grew up with our mom. We grew up pretty poor. We had like little tickets in school for our free lunches and stuff, discounted lunches, which was a whole other story we don't really want to get into. But so we didn't grow up with a lot. Our granddad was a self-made man. He had money, but it didn't really trickle down through because our mom was like the opposite of him and spent it like there's no tomorrow. And she was in real estate, so it was always feast or famine. She'd sell a big house and she'd have a big commission. And all of a sudden, we're going to like the nicest all-you-can-eat dinners in Atlanta because that was nice.
You guys went to eat at Shoney's tonight.
Oh yeah,
I worked at Shoney's. We both worked at Shoney's.
Okay. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, but no, I mean, and our mom worked. She worked like her ass off for us. I mean, single mom. Our dad lived nearby in a nearby city too, so we saw him a lot. Yeah, I mean, our families they definitely weren't well off, but we weren't like. You know, we had food to eat. Sometimes it was out of a can. Most of the time it was.
So this was kind of like a big move for you guys to start this burger franchise then. I mean, for your family, I always thought you guys were like old money from all Atlanta. Well,
people think that. In fact, like, you know, I got in arguments during the. It's totally apropos of nothing, but I got an argument during the campaign with some friend of mine who was a Bernie supporter and I was for Hillary. And he was just like, you know, well, not all of us are born in a silver spoon in their mouth. And I was like, well, hold on, motherfucker. Let me tell you.
Right. We had to go in to school on Mondays before it opened to go into the basement and order our collect our tickets for our discounted meals that we, you know, could use. So it's. You know, and I think that was brought up in a campaign at some point recently where they're going to do away with that or that, you know, that was seen as a blight. And we're like, you know, that was embarrassing for us as kids, but that was how we're going to get fed that day.
You know that they've done studies about food stamps and those kind of programs, and they actually create more money than corporate tax giveaways ever can.
And kids,
they double the dollar back into the economy.
And kids not being fed at school makes a huge impact in their grades. They just, like, kids that are hungry just don't learn.
Yeah, no.
So basically, by killing those programs, you're robbing future generations of Brandon and Ashley and Hamburger
Mary's. And Camp Wanakiki.
Yes!
And Camp Wanakiki.
You know, this is how these things ripple. They have a direct ripple effect, and you guys have a very positive impact in our community. I mean, you know, you guys have been very instrumental in our neighborhood about launching recycling programs and pushing the other restaurants and businesses to be more community oriented.
We've always been green, even with our personalized. When we were in high school, at South Cobb High School in Allsdale, Georgia.
War Eagle.
We as part of the student, we were both in student government, and we started a newspaper recycling program and aluminum can recycling program at the school, which was, if you could imagine, people had newspapers to recycle back then. So we've always kind of felt that way. And then when we had and we recycled ourselves at our homes just when we were, you know, as adults too. So when we started a restaurant, I mean, it was a major concern of ours to start with, because we're now going into a business that just has so much waste and so much garbage. And
most of it just gets thrown in the bin, you know, it just ends up in a landfill. So, yeah, we actually, we've been, you know, now it probably seems silly. People are listening to this and like, well, of course you'd recycle. But, you know, yeah, 10, 12 years ago, it wasn't like everybody recycled.
Were the businesses in the neighborhood like, what are you trying to start some trouble? You
know? Well, it actually helped that the Andersonville Chamber of Commerce was really big on it. And they actually started this Eco Andersonville program that we were one of the first, you know, pioneering restaurants or businesses just in general that were part of it. Now, changing all our lighting to energy efficient lighting. We actually approached Sysco, which is like the big food distribution. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we told them, like, what sort of eco products you have? Cause we don't want to put our stuff in styrofoam, and we don't want to, you know, serve, you know, we want to have like humanely raised meats and all this stuff. So they actually, went to bat for us. They found all these products like, for recycled content, containers and cups and packaging and everything. And we actually went to their food show that year, and they had this little table of all these little items that they had. And they're like, oh, Hamburger Mary's. They knew who we were. They're like, oh, we're here because of you. You know, we created this demand. And then the next year we went back to their food show.
And it was three tables.
It wasn't a table. It was like half a room full of it. So it's like it takes like one person or one group to start a trend. And then, you know, if other people join on, and it'll grow. So anyway, we just try to do our part.
And what's your word? The big controversy right now, especially with right wing groups, is like Starbucks, the liberal corporation, forcing us to do paper straws.
Oh, my God.
Right. It's like the people that want to burn coal, right?
Yeah.
It's that same mentality.
Yeah. And they're like, you're going to get rid of jobs of the plastic straw industry.
In China. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is actually kind of a new thing that we didn't. A lot of people don't even think about, but if you think like everything that you use that's disposable, when you throw it away, there is no such place as away. It doesn't go away. It goes somewhere. It goes into a landfill. It goes and ends up in the ocean. It goes into a river. It goes somewhere. So you think about all those straws that, and you know, plastics that don't break down, or they take millions of years to break down. They end up in the waterways sometimes.
In the turtles' noses.
You know, you see pictures of turtles with straws in their nose, and it's just like, the turtle can't get that out of their nose. They're just
gonna
die.
How much cocaine is that turtle doing?
Right. You know? He just can't get enough. He just keeps going.
He should have used a paper straw.
Yeah. The McDonald's Coke spoons. They got rid of those because people were like dipping them in 24 karat gold and wearing them as fashion accessories to do cocaine. You know, the coffee stirrers from the 80s.
I missed that trend.
Yeah, you can Google it, like McDonald's cocaine straws.
No, but about the just to finish up with the straws. So we are the Shedd Aquarium here in Chicago started this initiative. And I think other cities are doing it too, where it's called Shedd the Straw. Well, they're calling it Shedd the Straw here because it's the Shedd Aquarium. So, you know, we have straws if you want one, and we have paper straws, and we actually still have some plastic straws, but we're not just going to give straws liberally with every cup of water and every, you know, soda. It's like, it's making a conscientious effort to reduce the amount of waste that we're putting
out. And the plastic straws that we do have are made with the corn resin.
Oh, so they actually decompose.
They're plastique. Right,
yeah. Plastique.
Mm. So which one of you guys, you probably had to come out to your parents because you were starting this gay burger franchise, this drag queen burger franchise. But which one of you guys came out to each other first? Or did you even need to? Was that something that was understood?
Yeah. Ashley came out first, and then he came out first. Mm-hmm. I would say that because he came out of our mother first. and then he came out of the closet first. Ashley came out to me in college.
And he's like, you're gay.
Yeah, I mean, we both knew.
Face it.
I always knew he was gay. He always knew I was gay. But it's just, you know, again, just growing up in the Deep South in Georgia, just you don't...
We would find each other's porn stash as kids, and so like
really,
right? Yeah, yes.
That we had stole from the like corner, you know, drugstore or whatever.
Gay right. porn.
What was it yeah. like?
No,
was
it was really like yeah. like
Playgirls and
yeah, or you know, softcore stuff, whatever.
The Soloflex brochure,
Chippendales videos,
international mail catalogs.
Oh my god, international mail catalogs. Oh, those were so hot.
Oh, when they came out with Undergear, it changed yes. my life. Oh my god.
In my day, we used to have to masturbate to the JCPenney catalog, men's underwear section.
Yes.
And so, I mean, were you guys nervous?
So we both went to the same school. We went to Auburn in Alabama, and it's a pretty conservative school. It still is. There actually was a huge fight at the time when we were there about forming a gay and lesbian association. It was sure. a huge thing. It was like
it was on CNN.
I think actually, yeah, CNN. Everything.
Did it get formed?
Well, it did, but then it was denied by the student government association. Denied their charter. And so then the ACLU came in, CNN came in, and you had the SGA presidents up there, like, spouting all mm-hmm. this hate and these, you know, we've got anti-sodomy laws in Alabama.
Like, I don't need a charter to suck no cock.
Yeah, right? Something like
I
that.
I need the Magna Carta over here.
So, all of this was going on in the backdrop. And we were also very outspoken on campus. We were, like, the straight allies of the students. I actually hosted a radio show on the college radio station, WEGL, is called On the Air. And people called in, and it was like a talk show. People called in, and I was like the liberal voice. But I was you know, so-called straight back then. But anyway, I started going out to
so basically
bars.
All liberals are like closeted gays.
And at Auburn, yeah.
The 12 liberals at Auburn University.
Yeah.
Sorry, we love Auburn. Lunch and socials.
I'm just saying all this is a setup because I started, you know, venturing out and going to gay bars, and we had to drive to Montgomery, which is 50 miles away, to a bar called Ho John's, which is the only gay bar that was in the area. So I started going to this bar, and one day someone came up to me and was like, Brandon, I didn't know you were gay. And I was
wrong
like
one.
I'm not Brandon. Oh, is Brandon gay? And I was like, I don't know, you have to ask him. So I figured it was probably like, you know, someone's gonna see me, recognize me or whatever, and then run into him on the street or on campus and say something to him. And I was like, well, I might as well just tell him that I'm gay. And he didn't come out to me. I told him, and then he was like, okay.
I was like, I said, I know. And I was kind of half expecting you to say, well, how do you know? Because then I would have said, because I am too, but you didn't ask. And so I didn't say anything. It's just,
don't ask, don't tell.
When
it's
you're
so weird.
Identical twins, wouldn't you just assume the other one is gay?
Yeah, because not always. Yeah.
But well, it's like 75% of the time the other
well,
one's gay, right?
Also, we yeah. each knew where the other one's, you know,
porn
international mail catalog was. So we knew each other was gay. It's just
it's
much
just,
more
you
than
didn't
that. You
want
have
to talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, coming out, unless everyone has their own coming out stories. And if, it, you know, when you're ready, you're ready. And if you're not ready, you're not ready. So maybe I just wasn't ready, even though part of the reason why I took the job to Chicago when I was looking at jobs I worked in. I mean, I had a lot of interviews in other cities and I was like, I wanted to go far, far away from the South. And I just in my mind was like, I'm going to go there and I'm going to come out and I just had to wait to get away.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't until I moved to Chicago. Then I called him up and was like, hey, remember that conversation we had about 6 months ago and you said you were gay? And he's like yeah, I know you're gay too.
I'm getting all the men.
And I was living in Munich, Germany. So I decided to go even farther away.
Wow.
Are men who are attracted to you ever find the other one attractive or
oh,
like
well,
that complicate things when you're trying to like pick up a guy at a yeah. bar
you're in the back room with a jackhammer or whatever.
Right, <exactly. laughs> I'm sure it did. I mean I'm not going to talk about our current boyfriends, but there have been a couple of people
yeah.
in the day back in the day that did hook up with one of us either thinking it was the other one. And I'm going to just, Ashley, it was him.
You like, know what? Okay.
He
here's
was hot. You knew he wanted
what
me.
What happened
and
was.
You went home with him.
No, I did not go home with him. He crawled into bed with me. So here's what happened. So I had moved back home after living in Germany for 2 years. And so I wanted to get out of Atlanta. So I came to Chicago and I was like, oh, I'm going to. And so I was staying with Brandon for a couple months until I found a place and a job and all that stuff. So the way his apartment was set up was his bedroom had sort of like a I'm not gonna call it a sitting room, but it was like another room that you had to go through to get to his bedroom. Yeah. Like from
like a little den.
Yeah. And so I was sleeping on a futon in there. And so there was one night that Brandon went out with some of his friends, including this hot friend of his, who shall remain nameless right now. They went out.
He's listening.
And
he knows.
And so they came back.
He's definitely listening now.
And they, oh, yeah. Right.
People
and,
are like, you have to hear this interview.
So they came back and they were drunk. And I was already in bed. And Brandon, it's not my fault that he's a prude and made the guy sleep on the sofa.
Yeah, for some reason, I was just a little prude.
And so Brandon went to bed. So at some point in the middle of the night, this guy gets up feeling frisky and coming back. And maybe he thought he crawled into bed with Brandon. Maybe he knew it was me. I don't
know.
Did
you know who the guy was?
He had met him like 5 minutes.
Well, and you know, he seemed to enjoy himself.
Yeah, all I know is I woke up the next... Well, you know, I paid for it because I woke up the next day
we both
and
paid
had
for it.
A hickey.
Yeah, he gave both of us
hickeys.
Oh, no,
this is funny.
Because he gave me a hickey at the when we were dancing. It was at Spin. I think we were at Spin.
Oh, Spin.
This is how long ago it was. Yeah, so I...
It's a now defunct yay bar.
So he gave both of us hickeys the same night. Him on the dance floor and me like in bed. In
like at the same spot?
Isn't that so trashy? At it's the beginning just, of this, yeah. I was like, my mom might listen to this. And now I'm just like, whatever.
Don't tell your mom.
Don't tell your mom.
No, she'll never find out.
Don't you know tell mom.
When you guys decided to dress up in drag, who was the first drag queen?
Well, no, that was me again.
Betty.
I came out as the drag queen for first as well.
Times. Yeah.
So I was managing this bar in D.C. Called Cobalt, and we had a karaoke night every Sunday. And I had this idea. I was like, let's make it really fun. Let's do gong show karaoke. Sure. So we had this one queen that was hosting it. She was like this trailer trash queen. She was funny, but her shtick got kind of old. She went on vacation. I'm going to try to shorten the story as much as possible. So she went on vacation, and I was like, well, you know what? I'm just going to fill in for her.
Sure.
And, you know, and so, and a friend of mine had given me the name Apple Brown Betty before because I like to bake, at the time. I still like to bake.
You're a foodie.
I love to bake. I love cooking.
You're a brewmaster. You make those beers.
Well, Brandon's the brewmaster.
You're the brewmaster. Yeah. Brandon brews.
Ashley
bakes.
Eats. That's
food comes out of the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I created this, you know, Apple Brown Betty came out and, you know, she hosted Gong Show Karaoke. Well, you know, not to toot my own horn, but everybody loved it. And they all were like, you should do this more often. I was like, no, whatever. So a few weeks later, I basically decided to can the drag queen and take her over the show.
Oh, wow.
And at the time it was really kind of funny because, you know, people really get into it because, you know, I was much younger and cuter and spelt and I actually bartended shirtless a couple times too. You might not believe it. But but I was kind of hot stuff back then. But to see this guy who you normally see behind the bar, all of a sudden this drag queen persona, it was sort of like people came because it was sort of like a different kind of like, wow, I'm not expecting this.
There's a novelty to it.
Yeah, and it wasn't like a typical drag queen, whatever that is. So, you know, although it's also interesting because I started to feel the first shunnings. Like, you hear a lot of drag queens are like, you know, back in the day, like, nobody wanted to date a drag queen. Nobody wanted to date. And nowadays, it's like, oh, my God, clown fuckers, just get off of me. But
do you guys are getting hit on more often now that you're drag queens?
We're getting some solicitations on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah. From any good-looking men? Or
no. Mostly from the Philippines or from somewhere.
So anyway, fast forward to this story because where Cherry Pie comes in, which is the most interesting
part. Oh, yeah. Is she here?
Yeah.
So Apple Brown Betty came first.
Yeah. And so Betty had been was doing Gong Show Karaoke for several months in D.C. This is back in early 2000s. Yeah. And so I would come. I was in Chicago and Ashley was in D.C. And I would go to visit. And whenever I'd visit, like one of the times I visited, Ashley's like, hey, why don't you go get a wig somewhere we're going to like have you host with me this Gong Show Karaoke. So that's where Cherry Pie came in. I had to have a name that matched Apple Brown Betty. So I was like, oh, Cherry Pie. So
and together we're the Sugar Bakers.
Yeah,
and you're your math person.
Right. And Pi is spelled P-I.
Okay. How far can you count the numbers of pi? 3.14.
I just use a calculator.
You don't. After that, you can't.
There's a button for it. Why do I need to know it?
You know, mathematicians will tell you that pi is basically 3.
Well, it's 3.14 something.
But, you know, for all practical purposes, the number pi is just 3.
0.14.
No, but if you're like taking an SAT test, if you're rounding off anything, just multiply it by three. It's much easier. So then after you guys, because I know that with Hamburger Mary's, you guys would do events as Apple Pie. I'm sorry, Cherry Pie and Apple Brown Betty and the Sugar Baker twins. Right. Mm-hmm. And so through the years, you guys have been watching, you know, the rise of drag queen reality TV shows, which right. is Drag Race. Then came Cooking with Drag Queens. Then came Dragula. And you guys are like, I want to do that too.
Yeah, I want to slice of that. All pun intended.
And so Camp Wanakiki came about because you guys also love to go camping as well.
We love the outdoors. Yeah, of course. We are, you know, seeing what's going on in the drag universe. First of all, it's amazing that it's become, you know, kind of mainstream now. And you know, that's thanks in large part to RuPaul. Big kudos to what, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race has done for drag. There's also a downside because there's also like she's showcasing that not everybody fits in the mold of what would be successful on that particular show.
Sure.
So, and then, you know, along came Dragula, which is showcasing, you know, a totally different part of drag with the monsters, which is also totally awesome. We watched that too. And we were just sitting around talking one day. We're like, wouldn't it be funny just to do a show with campy drag queens? Because just for the humor and just kind of silliness of it, let's get a bunch of campy drag queens and do a show.
And on Drag Race, they call it comedy queens. But you guys are like sort of a tie into the traditions of Miss Richfield, Coco Peru, Lady Bunny,
right.
Evie Harris,
Jean Merman,
you know, and that sort of a sensibility. And so you wanted to sort of find the next generation of those people.
Right. Right. I mean, just the fun. So
you didn't go for the looks queens. You don't have the Instagram queens, the Miss Continentals.
No, they've got looks.
The Death Droppers. Yes.
But I mean, those people can be campy queens. Mm-hmm. I mean, and certainly, hopefully, you know, if we are blessed with future seasons of this, I would imagine that some of those people will still come out to be, you know, for Camp Wanakiki as well.
And so where did the summer camp idea came sort of afterwards? It was it was the idea to bring these type of drag queens together.
It was sort of it was organic. I mean, it was Ashley and I talking about the show or the sort of the need for that platform. And then somehow the word summer camp came up and like, and then just talking back and forth and like combining those into, oh my God, if we took campy drag queens to an actual summer camp and they did actual summer camp things, I mean, wouldn't that be hysterical? So it's sort of an evolution in the thought process of that. And it came when we came up with Camp Wanakiki.
Well, the trailer's up on YouTube at the Camp Wanakiki channel. You can find the link and the trailer on our website, feastoffun.com. And in there, you guys have the queens canoeing.
Yes.
Starting a fire with their two sticks.
Yeah.
So what are they doing? You guys figure it out more or less. You don't want to give too much of it away, right. But.
Well, I mean, we've given a little bit away in the teaser. I mean, that's what a teaser is, I guess. So they're doing, every day they're doing, well, first of all, every episode is going to be a day at camp.
Uh-huh.
So they have to do some sort of camp activity. So, you know, obviously canoeing, we already gave that away. Archery, I think, you know, you can kind of surmise that. There are other things, typical things that, you know, 8 to 12 year olds do at summer camp. But these are, you know, full grown drag queens, like in drag, in the sun.
So explore their playing post office and what, or like gossiping about each other, playing hide and go seek.
You'll have to watch and see all the little things they do. Yeah.
Find the whittle stick.
Were there like any ideas that you wanted to? I mean, I imagine that you guys were like coming up with lots of ideas and all your friends were like, oh, do this, do that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there was a serious time crunch to put the show on, both from a perspective that we have a great idea and we want to do it before someone else does. But also as we started approaching camp grounds to do it, because we felt the need that it needed to be at an actual summer camp and the queens had to stay in cabins and they had to experience the whole camping atmosphere, but summer camps are booked all summer
starting in June,
kids and stuff. So we literally we were like the first weekend that this one camp was open. So it was in middle of May. So we had to come up with the storyboards pretty quickly because we had to film pretty early in the season.
Mm. And then we also only had a week.
Otherwise, like, we'd have to. Otherwise, it was either do it in May or it was do it in November or something really late.
How did you choose the eight drag queens to do this, and how did you sell them on the idea? Because I imagine you're like, they're like, hey, you're going to be on a reality TV show for drag queens, and it's going to help your career. Yay! It takes place in the middle of the woods.
Right. Well, you're going to be a drag all day long. Yeah.
Well, we didn't tell them all the details at first, but I think just the idea sold itself. We did have to be very careful. Like, obviously, we couldn't do an open casting call because nobody knew what it was. We'd have to explain it. And again, like Brandon said, we didn't want to let the cat out of the bag too soon, because sure, we're not TV producers. We're burger moguls at best. So, you know, we were like, oh, we need to keep this kind of close knit. So we had to pick the queens, and we did reach out to a few people for ideas. So we knew they all had to come kind of from the Midwest. So we got some Chicago queens, we got some Milwaukee queens, we got someone from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, which I didn't even know where that was, but she's fabulous. Someone from Madison. And we kind of just reached out to each of them individually, told them the idea of the show, the concept, and they pretty much all were like, yeah, sign me up. Yeah. This sounds awesome.
So that's Dominique DeGrant.
Yes.
The Pinkening from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Yes.
She's all pink all the time.
And she looks, her makeup's very Trixie Mattel, right? With the hard cheekbones.
It's
and
definitely
the bright
similar,
pink yeah. colors. But, what was your initial reaction to her?
She's fantastic. Sure. I mean, she is. She's fantastic. And just you can see her, follow her on Instagram. Follow all of the queens on Instagram, obviously.
But the color pink for her is a very big thing.
Yeah. And all of her outfits, she makes all her own stuff. And, you know, a lot of them are very intricate. They're very, very campy. I mean, if you look at her pictures, I mean, that's like the quintessential when you think of like a campy drag queen. That's kind of what a lot of people think of.
Yeah, she's really great at building stuff.
Yeah.
Then we have Alexis Bevels from Chicago, Illinois, whose brand is these round glasses. She's always wearing those glasses. Yeah.
She's heavily inspired by Harry Potter. That's where the glasses come from.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And she's also kind of a quirky, nerdy kind of character, but super intelligent. A lot of her humor is like, it's kind of that nerdy kind of humor, but it's so smart and funny.
Yeah, she's very witty.
She's a practicing Wiccan witch.
I don't know about that. Maybe. No,
there's one pagan holiday from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who works a lot with stuffed animals. Sews, pulls the seams apart, and then builds costumes from them.
Yeah, she's our psychopath.
She could either
she's a witch,
right? Depending on which stuffed animal she gets, she fits perfectly on Camp Wanakiki or Dragula. I mean, she definitely likes to decapitate animals and use them creatively in her look. But
like
she's
on her head, on her hands.
Yeah, she makes most of her stuff too, and she's like a, you know, I would describe her as like a patchwork queen. I mean, some of her looks are like almost like quilted sort of patchworky fabrics with the stuffed heads. I mean, it's an interesting look.
You have from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Sylvia Nix.
Sylvia.
Club.
What did she call herself? The blue collar white trash something or other. Yeah, she's
like a. How would you describe it? She's kind of a
body.
Yeah. She's just sort of like in your face, kind of like she'd chug a beer and then do a Joan Jett number. But she's also just like super witty, quick on her feet. Yeah, we love Sylvia.
Alasia from Chicago. She's one of the waitresses at Hamburger Mary's. And
no, she DJs and performs a lot at Hamburger Mary's. She's super amazing dancer. I mean, she's super talented. I mean, she's probably the most glamorous of the campy queens. I mean,
she's sophisticated.
How did she fare? Because usually sophisticated people don't care for camp too much.
Well, you have to watch to find out how she fared.
So that's only going to be a
did you put her through the changes?
Yeah, I wouldn't call her sophisticated, but I mean, not that she's not sophisticated, but but she's definitely was more of a glamour queen with campy elements. Mm. And through this process, I mean, which people will see that she's kind of like is embraced the more campy side. So if you can see her perform a lot. She's up Mary's almost every weekend in Chicago. And she still gives these fierce, like amazing glamour looks. And then she'll come out with like crazy pink hair and like a little tutu. And
in the tradition of peppermint, of having trans women competing as drag queens. Say KV. She's kind of described by the other girls, and I guess I'm going to give this away, as a snuffleupagus.
Yeah.
Because she's very mysterious, and she's spooky, but and she has this, like, very ghostly quality to her.
Yeah, no, she's fantastic, and she's a bigger girl too. So she and just has just loves her body. She's actually got her stretch marks tattooed
as rainbows
in rainbow colors, which is like really great. And she loves to show them off.
Yes, she does.
She loves her big body.
Positivity.
Very much.
Positive. The more body, the more positive.
She's the body positive art hoe from Chicago.
Her brand name, and please excuse the pejorative as she goes. Tiny tranny dick is what she has merchandise with that on it.
She also has a condom with her face on it
that you could put on your penis and have sex with other people.
Like the face is actually on the condom, not just the wrapper, on the actual condom.
She gave me one, and then my partner found it on the floorboard of the car because I had just forgot it fell on the floorboard, and he's like, "What the hell is this?
Who uses condoms anymore?"
But I will say just a nod to the whole trans issue too. Because it's something at Camp Wanakiki that we wanted to make sure that we didn't exclude anyone for that. And you know, I'm not going to make, you know, any comments, but other shows might have excluded her from being part of it. And we were like, no,
it'll be interesting because now they have on All Stars 4. Giagana's rumored to be on All Stars, and she's come out as trans. And
honey, she's raised all the money for her transition through Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, through GoFundMe.
So yeah. I don't know what kind of work she's had. Because, like, you know, RuPaul said, well, Peppermint was trans before she came on this show, but she didn't have any work done. But other girls have, like, not come out as trans, but have had, like, butt implants and stuff. So it's really kind of RuPaul's in a very strange and murky waters with trans issue.
Monica Beverly Hills, one of our good friends, she came out as trans on the show. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's
they got,
like,
the boot.
Well, yeah, though, no, there's that. But I mean, it's like, it's not like RuPaul's never had it, so I don't know why she wants to create this controversy about it. But whatever,
I feel like she's painting herself into a corner with it.
Or is she just kicking the beehive?
We're going to let RuPaul do what RuPaul do.
Muffy Fish Basket. So Muffy Fish Basket is, so she's very much an arts and crafts queen and performs a lot at Camp It. Saugatuck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the Fire Island of the Midwest.
And she's been on the podcast a couple of different times. We had her on the last time to talk about when we were at the Austin International Drag Festival, and Alex Jones sent somebody in to infiltrate the family-friendly drag show and made it seem as though we were corrupting the children.
Well, Alex Jones is a right-wing media conspiracy theorist who helped Trump get
and
elected.
And has been banned from Facebook for at least 30 days.
I was about to say, didn't he get in trouble recently?
Yeah, he got banned,
banned from Feast
for his
fun.
Misinformation.
And he will never be on Camp
Wanakiki. Fausto was actually, when he had his cable access show in Austin, Texas in the early 90s, his show went on right before Alex Jones's show because he started out as a cable access douchebag.
And I'm still a cable access douchebag. No. The JJ Snap and Turtle, she reminds me very much of the sort of South Beach old women that go to Boca Raton and, you know, like the tan. And she's she sort of has this personality of being sort of a tourist, a retiree.
Yeah, and one interesting thing about the show, and it'll be interesting to see follow the queens after the show. They all kind of, I don't want to say they settled on a character, but they did kind of work into a character for themselves. Because when you're in drag, once you put the wig and the makeup and everything on, you're in a character anyway. And a lot of drag queens have a particular character that they fall back to. But then when you're in it all day, you end up competing in that character. And I only say that because Vijay is absolutely hysterical in I'm going to call it a version of Vijay because I don't want to pigeonhole her into just doing this one shtick. But that's the shtick you're going to see on the show, and it's hysterical.
I think before this show, she was known in Milwaukee as the queen that had, like, ginormous tits. Like, she had these huge balloons as boobs. And now she's going to be known as the drag queen with the fupa. So she traded her big boobs for a big fupa.
Belly.
Fat above upper pussy area.
Yeah.
It's an acronym.
It's a scientific thing.
Yeah.
And we haven't talked about Aunt Ruthie or Dear Ruthie.
Dear Ruthie.
She's
Dear
an
Ruthie.
Advice columnist, syndicated. And she happens to be sort of your She's the camp counselor.
Yes, she's the Sugar Baker's cousin.
Yes.
Cousin, she's our cousin.
She's camp, related camp, to camp, you.
Counselor Ruthie. And yeah, she's the, we say that she is the Tim Gunn to Betty and Cherry's Heidi Klum. So we
we're
sort
so
of,
glamorous.
Yes, we're so glamorous.
So you're the mean girls and she's the one who cares about the
girls. Well, no, it's more like we, you know, we're the camp directors, sure. And we have our own little things that we're doing. But when it comes time to checking on the queens and the encouragement and stuff like that, that's like the camp counselor gets in there. And
yeah, that's her role on the show. In real life, she has been she's like a consummate professional drag queen. Oh, my God. She has been around for, what, 20 something years? I don't know.
But she's young.
She's in Milwaukee. She does a lot with. Yeah, she does a lot with us at Hamburger Mary's there. She's very charitable. She hosts a lot of our bingos. Anytime we need a special occasion, she's the one that is like the first person we ask because she's funny. She's hilarious. She's a comedian, basically. Mm-hmm. And she has acting experience. She's like a jack of all trades. So we are very fortunate to have her as a friend of ours and someone who's worked with us at Hamburger Mary's, but also just importantly for the show, I think she's kind of the glue in a lot of ways. And she provides a lot of the comedic elements to it. So.
I did want to add though, because, you know, we might get some critiques about the fact that we're like, you know, quote, hand selected these queens. And it is true that we knew many of them. But there were some queens that are on the show that we didn't
know. A big surprise
to you. That we didn't know at all. And we, some that we just knew by name. yeah, so it's a combination of that. But we try not to
get that. So it was an unexpected surprise to see these artists sort of evolve and change right in front of your eyes. And that's something that we can sort of look forward to, is seeing these individuals are being pressured into getting out of their comfort zone. And sort of being ridiculous, because the whole premise is really outrageous. Yeah. And it's almost like a parody of RuPaul's Drag Race in some regard. Was it hard to send people home? I mean, because you watch this all on television. This is the first time you actually had to tell somebody, go take a hike.
It was really, really hard. I mean, I'm not going to lie and say that there were some decisions that we made that we second thought about after the fact. But you know, you it's a show and you got to pick somebody and it's tough. It's tough. It's really, really tough especially when you see a queen that is so clearly, she just wants to win so bad. And then you got to say, take a hike. It's just like, you're crushing someone's dream and we don't want to be the people to crush anyone's dream. You know, we want to build dreams.
Sure. So I heard rumors that the queens were going to like set the camp on fire. They're like, you want to laugh? Your blood will be the humor. How's that for a funny? Like, you know, there was a lot of tension in this attempt to try to make this lighthearted show.
You know, a lot. We surprisingly didn't have a lot of drama. We didn't want a lot of drama. We certainly did not want to create. There's no fake drama that's created at all. Okay. We went into this knowing that if drama happened, we'd film it and we'd show it. But that's not our intent. I mean, you can watch other shows for that kind of content. And luckily, I think that the queens they all enjoyed the sororityhood of meeting the other queens.
They said they all fell in love with each other. Yeah. And it was very rare. From talking to other people who've been on Dragula or Drag Race, that they feel like this is the closest knit group of people.
Yeah, and I think that's true even for the ones that get sent home first and second or early in the show, because they all stayed on camp. They all stayed at camp. They all stayed in the cabins with the other campers that were on the show. So they had this support group built in. So, you know, if someone got eliminated and they were really upset and they felt like leaving and they wanted to go home, they had seven other people that were going through this with them to talk them, you know, off the ledge, so to speak, and to really encourage them to stay. And
do you think that's helped build a lot of the kinship, was just keeping everybody together throughout, from beginning to end, through the experience?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, I've never been on RuPaul, so I don't really know how that's done either.
Well, you guys have been sponsors of RuPaul's Drag Race.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Although I think the people that, like, maybe the first eliminated or the first couple eliminated, sometimes they actually send them home. But I think as you get later on,
save the expense.
You know, exactly. You're like,
So I mean, with us, I mean, they stayed in. They were in the cabins. I mean,
they were trapped, is what you're saying.
Yeah, 2 hours away.
Why not just let them go?
Well, we had already paid for the... No, I'm kidding. hey, we were paying for 20 people here. You know, I will say this, but I don't think it's going to give anything away, but we really want, unlike other shows, when someone gets eliminated, you never see them again. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we're, you know, bringing people, I'm not giving away any plot lines or whatever, but we wanted, you know, everyone put in effort in the looks that we asked them to bring. Because in addition to the daily camp activity, every night there's a talent show. Because, you know, it's a camp talent show. Mm-hmm. So they have to present a different look. And, you know, we knew that people were going to get eliminated who had spent time making these outfits. And so we are going to show the world, who anybody who wants to see, what the eliminated queen's looks would have been who would have stayed. So if you're like, yeah, oh, my favorite queen got voted off, but I can still see what she would have done on this look. So yeah, later on, if you pay attention, probably won't be on the actual episode, but it would be like, you know, content on the Facebook page or whatever. But so we wanted to have them feel like they were still part of the process.
I really love this show, you know, and the queens all seem really sweet. I wish I could be part of that.
I know. Wouldn't it have been nice?
Wouldn't it be nice
if,
well,
you were there?
Maybe through the magic.
Mark could do it because he was a Norway, an Alt for Norway.
Having my own camp adventures. We did a lot of camping on Alt for Norway.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see that.
Well,
oh my god!
Very exciting. Well, I'll invite you to the premiere party. Whenever we'll figure out when the premiere is. We still don't have a date yet. Any day now.
If only you knew somebody with a location available to show them.
I know, right?
Viewing.
Are you available Sunday afternoon?
Oh, probably.
We'll see.
So when is the Camp Wanakiki official premiere going to be?
It will be available on YouTube Tuesday afternoon. We don't have an official time yet when it's going to be released, but...
But that's going to be Tuesday, August 7th.
And then every Tuesday after that, with the exception of we're skipping the week Labor Day.
Okay.
But if you're in a city with a Hamburger Mary's, there will be premiere preview parties, viewing parties in Chicago the Sunday before. So this Sunday... on the 5th at Mary's Attic, you'll be able to see the episode before anyone else. And then on Monday at Hamburger Mary's in Milwaukee, we're going to show it.
Well, I wish I could be part of that.
Well, you can be part of that.
What?
But can we... Can we let the listeners know that you're going to...
I'm in there.
You're in the show. Yeah.
I'm the surprise. Yeah. I'm the seventh, the ninth queen.
Right. Yeah. So we will...
Not really.
You're on episode 2 or 3. What is it?
Episode 3.
And the third episode of the series, something unexpected happens. And the queens were all like, they were just like, they were really gagging. And I was like, I thought, you know... I guess because a lot of people don't think of me as a drag queen because I'm putting a lot of energy and attention to other drag queens, right? And so, like, you know, you go on these, you know, haters forums and they're like, what do they know? They've never put on a pair of pumps or put on any lipstick or had to tease a wig. And so, you know, I'm showed up there and they were just like, you saw the reaction to me.
Yeah, they were pretty, I think they were so confused. They're like,
who is that?
Is he going to compete against us now?
They did feel there was a
move over, bitches.
As soon as they were navigating what the hell I was going to do. And so I'm going to tell you what. I've never had a group of drag queens kiss my ass so much. Showed up there. They were like, Fausto, how are you? It's so good to see you. And I'm like, bitch, you were...
Right. Imagine if you actually hosted your own drag show and were able to pay some of these girls how much they kiss your ass.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't even know what you're talking about.
The drag queens have unrealistic expectations about this. I mean, you know, it's like... I said, hey, listen, whichever one of you guys wins, you're basically going to be the Bibi Zarabonet of Camp Wanakiki.
Yeah, I mean, we've tried to temper expectations a bit because even for ourselves, I mean, it's very easy to look at the success, I mean, of Dracula, for example, because that's the nearest comparison. But it took a couple years before that got to be, I mean, I actually hadn't heard about it until like the second season was about to come out. So, we're trying to tell people, like, it might be immediately successful or it might take a while or it might not be successful at all. We really have no idea. You put this thing out there in the universe on YouTube and you don't know what's going to happen.
Well, and that's also the thing is once you put it out there, it's out there and it stays out there. And so people will discover it. Later on, you know, some people, there's a lot of people who are excited about it now, and we've got, you know, over 1,000 subscribers right now.
So it's a very modest undertaking here.
Yeah, but we know that, like, once it's out there and more people talk about it, more and more people see it, hopefully it'll grow and it'll, you know, get in the YouTube algorithm of, you know, suggested
I'll tell
videos.
You, as somebody who has, you know, more than, I think we have, like, 30,000 subscribers on YouTube. It's like, sometimes you'll put something out there and people will gobble it up, and other times you're like, this is the most amazing video I've ever made, and people are like, eh. But, you know, Lady Bunny playing with your dog gets 20,000 views, you know?
Right.
So it is, you know, YouTube is a very finicky consumer, you know? So it is very unpredictable what's going to happen. And I imagine that your family, once again, is like going, and your friends and your business associates are like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, you know, why are we doing it? I mean, I think there's just the larger altruistic notion of putting something out there in the universe that's entertaining, that you hope fills a space that's it's needed or wanted. So that, you know, that's a goal right there.
Yeah. And also, we do own Hamburger Mary's, obviously, which is known for, you know, putting on drag shows and things like that. So and this definitely is not a commercial for Hamburger Mary's by any means. But we do, you know, we put in a commercial for Hamburger Mary's because, you know, we're paying for it.
Yeah, so there also advantage of it.
Yeah. So there also is that sort of like promotional aspect of it as well. So, you know, but for the most part, we wanted to do something that's fun. And the way we operate usually is we get an idea and it's a good idea. We just keep going with it and we really don't think back. And all of a sudden we're on a train that doesn't stop and we're calling up camps to rent it, you know.
What was the biggest challenge in your week at camp that was the hardest for you guys to get through?
I would say the biggest challenge was just that we had a very small crew. And for this being the first time for a lot of us, it was very stressful. And Brandon and I have our daily bickerings anyway. Multiply that times 10 and then also include a few other people that we're all depending on each other to put this show together. We had one videographer, her name's Bailey, and she's amazing. Big shout out to her. She is putting it all together and she's doing a wonderful job. We had Bryony, who flew over, a friend of Brandon's boyfriend, who flew over from England to help with it. She's actually has like some experience.
Bailey O'Neill, right?
Bailey yes. O'Neill, yeah.
And Bryony
Palizzi.
Palizzi.
Say their name because, you know.
I don't know how to say Bryony's last name. How do you say that?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they necessarily want to be out in the uniform.
Well,
I mean,
let me tell you,
if anybody's getting married, contact Bailey O'Neill. She's an amazing wedding videographer. Her wedding videos are absolutely stunning and beautiful. And once you see Camp Wanakiki, you will see why we...
You want to get married.
You want to get married.
Well, you have this really great aerial footage.
Oh, yeah. She had a drone. It was awesome.
And that really just took the whole production literally to a next level above the clouds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, in a lot of the challenges, the whole campground is a character unto itself, and it is a very humble camp, which adds to this sort of it feels very much like sort of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood of make-believe. It feels like the camp isn't really real. It's a pretend world just like the drag is.
Oh, but it's there.
It's there, yeah. And
it really does exist.
The
like you have these signs all over the place that like, you know, Puerto Rico's this way, Canada's that way, China's that way, you know.
The talent show that we put together, the stage is basically like conduit with $1.99 fabric from
hanging literally in their garage.
Hanging in their garage. There was a big four wheeler like behind you. It was just crazy.
Had a very John Waters aesthetic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sort of like Pink Flamingos.
Right.
Without the chicken scene.
And there is a pink flamingo in the talent show too, hanging on the wall. You know, the video was fantastic. We were both blessed and cursed with the weather. We lost two whole mornings due to rain. But fortunately every afternoon was beautiful, and that rain that like wet everything and made the green just pop once the sun finally came out. So it was like it sucked for our timing of what we were trying to do and get accomplished. But it did set.
Yeah, we had to play catch up a couple of times. Like,
did you coordinate with the queens on the fact that they're all these rainbow colors and each one had like there was no two, you know, Kevi was blue.
JJ had purple.
Yeah, everybody had
Muffy
their own.
Had green hair.
You know,
it no, just happened. Yeah, they just showed up like that.
We did tell them they had to have their what we referred to as their DDF, their daily drag face, because they had to be in that face every day. And we did ask them to develop a daily drag face for the show, and they did send us photos of it. Just we weren't going to try to like change it too much, but we would have, you know, we wanted to be like, oh, this isn't really what we're looking for. Whatever.
We wanted to make sure that like two people didn't show up with the same finger wave wig, you know, kind of thing.
Right. But we didn't have to change anything. They all organically came up with their looks that just look so great together, and they're so different.
Well, and just the way it pops against the green and brown backdrop of nature. You've got everyone in their pink Camp Wanakiki t-shirts. Everyone's got a different color hair, and then they've accessorized differently with jewelry and stuff like that. It does visually look very cool. So we were actually very fortunate in that sense.
And so the queens that get to stay, it's sort of like Girl Scouts. They earned the badges, and ultimately it's still not been decided, I guess, right? The winner gets a bunch of prizes and
Winner. It becomes the queen of camp.
Okay.
So literally the queen of Camp Wanakiki, but like figuratively the queen of campy.
And $1 billion.
$1 billion
in Hamburger Mary tokens.
there is a fabulous prize package, including cruise.
All expense paid.
Airfare and everything.
Well, it's provided by All Out Vacations, and I think it's to wherever they want to go. I mean, they pretty much said we'll give you a cruise.
Drag Stars at Sea cruise.
Oh, and P.S. you have to work the cruise.
Right,
yeah.
And we keep
most
the money.
Of them would love that.
Well, probably.
They just don't know that they're working as a janitor, but they're they'll win burgers for a year
from Hamburger
free
Mary.
Burger, free like all the burgers you can eat, or is there like a limit on
them? We'll give them a stack of gift certificates.
But here's the thing, that's an actual real prize, because a couple times we've given that on RuPaul's Drag Race, we've been kind of lucky that the queens that have won it haven't lived in a city near a Hamburger Mary's. Like, Sasha won it.
Exploit it.
Shea Kool-Aid's come in a few times.
Sasha Velour won it.
She won it. She's in New York, but Shea Kool-Aid was in Chicago, so she actually came in a couple times that year.
Like, give me my fucking burger, bitches.
Yeah. But we got a bunch of queens from Milwaukee and Chicago. They're going to be here every week.
Also, there'll be a cash prize, and also, just added, the winner is going to be a headliner at the Austin International Drag Festival.
Yeah. With this time, without any right wing media present.
Well, we don't know yet.
They might be inviting them. It was such good publicity for the festival.
But I will add that we don't know who the winner is yet, because
hasn't been determined.
How do you decide?
We are going to film a finale. And it's going to be, it's tentatively set for September 16th, and probably at Mary's Attic, above Hamburger Mary's.
Here in Chicago.
We'll do a finale show like RuPaul does, and we will crown the winner. So it'll be in front of a live audience, so people will be able to come and see.
So that means the air conditioning will be shut off. It'll take 5 hours to film. You'll have to be in line for 3 hours beforehand.
At least.
And no one can leave to go to the bathroom unless they lose their seat. And it'll be excruciatingly boring to watch.
Yes. But fabulous on TV.
Right.
Just like the finale. You know, some people, like, they were like, oh, I got tickets to the finale. You want to go? And they're like, I heard about it. Because they don't let you leave. If you leave, you lose your seat. Mm. For real.
Oh,
like,
wow.
They're very strict about that. Yeah,
and it's like 9-10 hours.
It's long. Yeah, it's a
marathon.
That's how
long it takes forever to make TV. Yeah. Long days, as you guys have discovered.
Well, this won't be that long.
Yeah,
everybody get it on one take. Let's go.
Yeah, one take wonders.
So what's after this? Like, I mean, imagine it's like, let's just assume that this is going to be this huge thing. Like, I'm already developing my merchandise for it.
Yeah, well, that's
and I'm on
next.
Just one episode.
they're speaking of merchandise, there will be merchandise. There's some online right now. Just the Camp Wanakiki t-shirt. We've got enamel pins coming.
For
some
other
t-shirts
queens.
And things like that.
But Muffy Fish Basket made this video that went a little bit viral. Laughing at how bad the enamel pins were. What would she mean by that?
Well, So they actually weren't as bad as she said they were. They were some of them were, but there were a couple that were
because you guys hired like an illustrator to draw them. Or?
Well, the problem is we didn't hire an illustrator. We
you did it yourself.
We went straight to the company in China. And we found a company. They're like, oh, yeah, we can do the artwork for it, too, for free, or it's included or whatever. So we're like, oh, great. That's a bargain. So we sent them pictures of all the drag queens, and we explained, like, you know, they're drag queens, blah, blah, blah. So they sent them back, and we're like,
very literal.
Do they know what drag queens are?
Why? What did they look like?
What they were?
They
well,
just
you
look
saw
like
the video,
women.
They're funny.
They just look like women with like no makeup on, or I mean, they were just very literal pens. Like they pulled the image off the picture and just.
But they also blanded it out with like no color and no anything. It was just very bland. But it was also just like the. I think they changed like some of the facial features and stuff. Some of them were very funny looking.
Wow, I can't wait to see those posted on social media.
Oh, right. We threatened them with the into their lives to not post this. So basically I took the artwork that they had done and I sort of like doctored. I have a graphic design background. So, I kind of doctored up and made them better. And so, yeah, they should be better now. Yeah.
Wearable.
We'll see what the company does to them now.
Well, yeah. I can't wait to see me on your episode.
I can't wait. I'm really sorry that I missed it, but I'm you know, not sorry also, too.
Well, you were obviously...
I had a good time doing my own thing. But
on Alpha Norge premieres soon.
Soon. End of August, beginning of September. We'll see.
And we'll make sure Feast of Fun premium subscribers will get access to all the episodes. You can become a Feast of Fun subscriber. Go to feastoffun.com/plus where you can see behind the scenes stuff on Camp Wanakiki and Alt for Norgay and Cooking with Drag Queens and Feast of Fun. And of course you have a rest assured that you are supporting future LGBT media in the heartland of America. Mm-hmm. And Camp Wanakiki premieres Tuesdays, August 7th. On the Camp Wanakiki YouTube channel.
And the finale of The Crowning is when?
September 12th.
September 16th.
It's a Sunday.
Okay, and that's open to the public. People can come and see it.
Yeah, I mean, well
you have
be,
to sell
yeah,
tickets.
There'll be tickets for that, because we're limited to like 120 people or something.
Can I come? Maybe.
We'll see.
Sorry, you're not welcome.
Do you, want, you guys want
if you come in your daily
wild
face.
Animals showing up?
I got a great... I put together a really cute look for Mark for the finale.
Mm. Well, okay, so since Falso, you get to be on the... Yes. Since you weren't on it, so maybe, Mark, you get to come.
Okay.
We only have one ticket. No, I'm kidding. Okay.
No, but can I reveal what Mark's look is going to be
sure.
for the finale?
We don't know what it is yet.
What is it? I don't know.
He's going to be a forest preserve ranger.
Oh.
But with all dragged up.
Ranger Mark.
But in Butch, you know. So like a really cute pink and brown with patches. You know, sort of to reflect the patches that the girls from Camp Wanakiki have.
Well, everybody's going to want to see that, so I'll have to come to the finale.
Yeah, and you guys can do you have any like a meet and greet, and everybody can have their photos taken with.
Yeah, we're actually having meet and greets after each of the previews in Chicago, Milwaukee on the Sundays and Mondays as well, and their performances too.
Yeah, we're making a show out of it, so there'll be performances by some of the queens or campers. Mm-hmm. They'll be performing. We'll have the viewing of the episode before anyone else. And then we will also do, you know, Q&As, meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole
experience.
Will
you be serving s'mores?
We should.
Or roasted wieners.
Yeah. But I think people would make
a
mess.
I love a good roasted wiener.
Don't we all?
Well, good luck to Alasia, Dominique DeGrant, Pagan Holiday, the JJJ, Snap and Turtle, Sylvia Nix, Alexis P. Bevels, Muffy Fish Basket, Say KV, but especially Apple Brown Betty and Cherry Pie, who are
and Dear Ruthie.
And Dear, well, people love Ruthie. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to love the contestants, the real two queens who are up for elimination, the two of you.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
We can't be eliminated. It's our show.
But, you know, it is like the public's going to sort of meet you guys for the first time, and they might not like that you sent somebody home.
Or they may just not like us.
They may not. And I'm sure that there will be people that don't. I mean, there'll be people that love us, and they'll love every decision we make, and there'll be people that question every single decision we make.
You work in customer service already, so you're used to
that. And, you know, it's the name of the game. There can only be one queen of camp.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. And also, like you guys know as well as we do, you know, just the online community, it can be very, very supportive, but it can also be very, very mean.
Yeah.
You know, we were on Undercover Boss a couple years ago, and most,
that's a reality TV show.
Yeah, on CBS. And most of the feedback was so positive and great, but then you'd get these like threads of people that are just like hating on everything. Yeah. And you know, it you just can't let it bother you, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, it's like already, you know, somebody, we went and hustled to create a Reddit page for you guys.
Yeah.
The real Camp Wanakiki, because there's a fake one. And unfortunately, I think that person who started it is already sharpening their knives.
Really?
Yeah, they have a history of being very negative on social media, and
see, that's why it's
they're already sharpening their knives and getting the pokers hot and red, lighting the fires. And I'm like, girl, it's a very different experience. Everybody's welcome at Camp Wanakiki,
right? And, but not everyone can stay.
Yeah.
Some of them have to take a hike.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of Camp Wanakiki. It was really really wholesome and heartwarming experience. And
delicious.
And it was delicious. Yeah. And really, it was really fun to, you know, I think share naked showers with the two of you guys.
Hey, that's a different show altogether.
You guys shared showers?
Yeah, because it's a summer camp, you know?
And it was just like gang showers or what?
No, there was like a little plastic curtain.
A little tiny curtain.
But see what would happen, and this is a little bit of a giveaway. So after we were done filming, we were showering and talking in the... And this is just like exactly like summer camp. We're talking about what happened today and what was going to happen tomorrow. And then you'd hear rustle outside. And you're like, these queens are spying on our camp just like Wet Hot American Summer.
Exactly. Ooh.
And I was like, girls, go away from here. Like, they were trying to game
know
the system.
What know what they're doing tomorrow.
There were some crafty queens in that show. Well, we'll find out where the true colors lie soon. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.